Beginning at verse 8, we read these words. One day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." One day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' Gehazi answered, 'Well, she has no son, and her husband is old.' He said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, 'At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant.' But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time, the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers, and he said to his father, 'Oh, my head, my head.' The father said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had lifted him up and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again.' And he said, 'Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.' She said, 'All is well.' Then she saddled the donkey, and she said to her servant, 'Urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Look, there is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, "Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child?" And she answered, "All is well." And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came to push her away. But the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" He said to Gehazi, "Tie up your garment and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply, and lay my staff on the face of the child." Then the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. Then he returned to meet him and told him, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, in the passage we're looking at this morning, we find two remarkable people in this passage. We see, of course, Elisha, the prophet, but we see a great woman, the Shunammite woman. And what a passage this is, as it speaks of the death of her son and as it speaks of his resurrection power. But most of all, in this passage, it's not about the death and the resurrection as much as it is about the glory and the honor of God. And that's what is in this narration, what is behind all of the events that take place. This is recorded to show the mercy and the power of God. God displays his great power, and his great power is demonstrated, and it is demonstrated in a time of great apostasy in the days of Israel when they were worshiping the Baal. And the national scene in Israel was one of terrible unbelief. Remember the kings, they all served the Baals. They all followed the Baals. They all followed the sin of whom? We know it well. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, is like, you know, they repeat that over and over and over and over again. It's a terrible day. And when Israel is busy with a false religion, the sovereign God, who is the true God, demonstrates his power and his might, but he does it through Elisha, the prophet, and he does it through Elisha, the prophet, to the Shunammite woman, and demonstrates that he is the glorious God. He is the God who is sovereign. He is the God who is the Lord. Israel is worshiping false gods, but God is the Lord, sovereign over all. He is the one who is still on the throne. He is on the throne today. He is the God who works mercy and grace and accomplishes his sovereign purposes for us, as well as he does for Elisha and the Shunammite woman. What we see in this passage, first of all, is the birth of the son that is given to the woman of Shunem. It's an interesting passage. I always like this particular story as it speaks of Elisha, who, you know, he's a traveling prophet, and he's going through town after town. He goes through Shunem, and he gets to meet the Shunammite woman, and the Shunammite woman tells her husband, let's build a nice little place for him on the roof, because she recognized, of course, that he was a godly man, and she wanted him to stay with them. And when he came through and stayed with them, he had this place. And this woman was a woman of wealth. She had servants. She had a house that was big enough to put a private room together for Elisha. She was rich, she was noble, and she was a godly woman as well, because she discerned that Elisha was a holy man of God. Wonder how that was possible. Did you ever ask yourself the question? How did she know that he was a man of God? Was it his clothing? We don't know. Doesn't say. Maybe she saw him praying a lot or reading scripture. But one thing is certain, his behavior marked him as a servant of the living God. And this woman was not only spiritual, but she was hospitable. She takes care of this prophet. She took care of his needs. He needs a place to stay. Not only does he need a place to stay, he needs a place that has a place where he can not only lay down and sleep, but he needs a table and a chair and a lamp. Wonder what the lamp was for. Might have been so that he could read the Bible, you think? Whatever it was, those needs, this woman desired to meet them. She was an example for us of what the scripture teaches us when it says, as it does in Galatians, don't be weary in well-doing. She didn't get tired of the prophet coming by. She didn't look out the window as he came down the path and say, oh, here he comes again, not him. No, she cared for the prophet. She provided for the prophet. She didn't tire of ministering to the prophet. And it was considerably expensive and some trouble and expense. You know, where would you put somebody if you had to put them up overnight. Well, I guess he could sleep on the couch, maybe. Maybe you've got an extra bedroom, unless they're all booked up already. But she says, let's put a room on the roof. And she does that. And that's where the prophet stays. Wonderful, wonderful woman, given to hospitality, given to love, very gracious and godly as well. Now there's a response from the prophet Elisha. He says to his servant, call her. And he says, we want to have a word with her. And then the prophet gives the woman a promise. And finally, what we see as they have that interaction is that the promise is that she will receive a son. Elisha wants to offer some kindness to her for all of her help, but she says, I don't need anything. I dwell among my people. And her response tells the prophet that she's perfectly satisfied with the portion that God had allotted to her. Notice the woman doesn't say, I don't have a son. The woman doesn't complain when the prophet says he wants to do something for her. She demonstrates contentedness, content to dwell among her people, content to dwell in the circumstances that God had ordained for her. She was content with the Lord's provision for her. There's nothing in what she says to the prophet Elisha that says she wasn't happy with what God had given her. And what God had given her was enough. She was content. What are silver and gold when compared with the unsearchable riches of Christ that the scripture speaks of? We have the unsearchable riches of Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have all that we need. This woman was content with what she had received, but she did not ask for a son. But Gehazi says she doesn't have a son. And then Elisha promises this woman, next year, you will have a son. Elisha rewards her hospitality. And the scripture doesn't tell us that God told him to do that. Find that interesting, don't you? But scripture tells us that Elisha said, you will have a son. And the woman didn't ask for favors. She and her husband were childless, but now she's going to receive a son. And she has a son. And then the next passage, starting at verse 18, part of the passage starting at verse 18 tells us about the death of the boy. The boy is now older. The boy is born. The boy is grown up. Now the boy is out with his father in the field. And all of a sudden he becomes sick. And the son of promise dies. And as he has died, he is taken home. Take him home. Bring him to his mother. Full of life, now he's a corpse, lying on his mother's lap at noon, dead. No explanation is given. He died. We're not given an explanation here as to his death. And there are some people who don't believe in miracles. They don't think he died. I'm sure that there are many who said, oh, he just collapsed from the heat. But after laying on his mother's lap for a while, maybe that would be the answer. No, the scripture says what? He was dead. Now, what is the Shunammite woman going to do now with her dead son? Well, the woman's response to her son's death is quite simple. She uses that as a trial of her faith, and she goes to the Lord through the prophet Elisha. She didn't respond by saying that God was unkind to her or the prophet was unkind to her. Did she murmur at God's providence? God took away her son? No, she didn't murmur. Did she give way to inordinate grief? It doesn't say that she was filled with grief. She's not stunned. She doesn't stagger in unbelief. She simply takes her son and she heads to see the prophet. And as we move forward in the text, we find that she lays him on Elisha's bed and she went out. But she went out with a definite purpose in mind. She took no time to make arrangements for a funeral. Isn't that interesting? She had a dead son. Now, what happens when somebody dies? You start thinking, what do I have to do for a funeral? You call Borsmus. You got to get ready for all this. No, she lays him on the prophet's bed. And she had a purpose in mind. She took no time to make arrangements for the funeral because I don't believe she believed that there was going to be a need for a funeral. But the woman, in belief, goes to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha is the prophet of God. Elisha is the prophet of God who could restore this child. Elisha is the prophet of God who is great and gracious. And that's what this passage is all about, the glory and the honor and the power of God. And so as she goes to the prophet, she goes to him and she clings to the promise that God had given to her. She seeks out the prophet. As she goes on her way, she doesn't talk to anybody. She says, press on. She tells her servant, press on unless I tell you to slow down. Let's go. Her faith is put to a severe test. The prophet is miles and miles away. She's got difficulties. She's got discouragements that she needs to overcome to meet with Elisha, but nothing stands in her way. She leaves her husband behind, and she doesn't even tell her husband that the son had died. She didn't inform him of his death. She saddles her donkey. She tells the servant not to spare her. It's an arduous journey. She's met by Gehazi, Elisha's servant. She's not put off from her purpose to see the prophet of God. And Gehazi tries to pry her away from the prophet as she grabs Elisha by the feet. And she pours out her plight to Elisha. Each of her actions demonstrates what? She is determined in faith to go to the prophet and to seek the word of the Lord. She refuses to accept her child's death, or at least refuses to do so until the prophet himself says nothing can be done. But he doesn't say that. Her faith stands out in history, filled with descriptions of persons who reject belief and obedience. Her faith is a sample to us of what we must do, believing in God's word. Her faith flourished in a time of trial. Her faith was strong in the midst of the circumstances. And in her frequent fellowship with the prophet, maybe she heard the story of how Elijah at the widow's house in Zarephath raised the dead son. Might have been the case. We don't know. But death did not have the final word on the occasion that God used Elijah to raise the boy from the dead, and death does not have the final word for the death of the Shunammite's son either. Her first words to the prophet are not a plea for help. They are words that lay hold of the promise of God. It's the strongest appeal that could be made. She gave evidence of a mighty faith in the Lord, the God who raises the dead. She could lay hold of that word of God and believe. And her testimony is a testimony that we must look at and that we must follow as well. She expressed her trustful expectation that God would bless her. And she had no doubt of the outcome of her errand. She was a woman of great faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 11 tells us that women receive back their dead by resurrection. This woman was one of those of which the writer of Hebrews speaks. Her faith was great, and great was her reward. The Shunammite's woman is raised from the dead. The passage ends with the resurrection of the Shunammite woman's son. With great tenacity, she brought her son, her need to Elisha the prophet, and she says, "I will not leave you." She was going to cling to Elisha. She was going to cling to the word of God. Her faith was going to rest in the word of God because she was certain that God would be true to his word. Faith knows that God can do immeasurably more than we ask or even think. And her faith was resting in God's word. And it appeared that Elisha joined that woman in believing that the death of her son was temporary, a test designed to further God's honor by displaying resurrection power and glory. And so Elisha is the one that God uses to raise this Shunammite boy from death, and he is granted life. Elisha goes to Shunem. The boy is raised from the dead by the mighty power of God because Elisha believed that the Lord would give life. And he cried out to the Lord, and he did not give up until the boy was restored to life. Look at that entire process. He put himself over the body, he eyes to eyes, hands to hand, all of that indicating that he believed that God was going to raise this child from the dead. And Elisha imitates his mentor Elijah, who had raised a lifeless boy to life through the power of the word of God. That's what this passage is about, the power of the word of God. His mercy and his power is so great that it will even raise people from the dead. And God's mercy continues to be displayed in raising to life those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's you, and that's me. We have been raised from death to life. Have you ever thought of that passage in Ephesians 2 where it says you were dead in trespasses and in sins? Dead like the Shunammite's son. Dead like the child that Elijah had to raise. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. We need a coroner. We need a funeral director. We're dead. But God, in grace, raises from the dead those who trust in Jesus Christ the Lord. And this Shunammite woman was one who trusted in God and in his gracious power, trusted mightily in the one who could even raise the dead. We notice that the woman worshiped the power of God that was manifested in Elisha, and then she left. She believed that the honor of God was at stake in her distress, and she acted accordingly, and her reward was in harmony with her faith. She loved her son as much as her life and more, but it was the honor of God that governed her actions. And the honor of God is the honor that we must also honor as well. The honor of the glorious power of a sovereign God who raises us from death to life in the power of Jesus. And to him be the glory and the praise forever. Amen. Let us pray.